lot of stuff we covered this morning already. Amen. All right. Today we're going to talk about being salt and light in Christ. Salt and light in Christ. So we'll pick up again in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse, we're going to start with verse number 13. We're going to read down to verse 16. I'm going to read in the New King James and the Amplified. So it says here, you are the salt of the earth. Everybody say salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, Jesus is talking, how can it be seasoned? What is it good? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Everybody say light of the world. A city that set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. In the Amplified Classic, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not good for anything any longer, but it to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Now notice he didn't say salt of the church. He said the salt of the world. That means Jesus is expecting us to be a part of the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And when you're in the world, you be salt. You should be salty. And the light of the world, not the light of the church. Jesus is the light of the church. He says, be the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do men light lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand and gives light to all in the house. Let your light, whose light? Your individual light, so shine before who? Men. So that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds. And recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, salt has a number of characteristics that illustrates the Christian's role in the world. It hinders the spread of corruption. It creates thirst. We all know that when you eat salty chips. And it enhances flavor. How many of you said it before when you ate a new dish or something somebody cooked and you said, this doesn't have any flavor? What do we normally mean? Doesn't have any salt. So what if people went around and tasted your life and said, they don't have any flavor? Hallelujah. So, Christians who live out the virtues described in the Beatitudes, which we covered last week, achieve all three of these purposes. See, your individual purpose as a believer is to stop the spread of corruption in your house, in your neighborhood, on your job. Because, you know, I hear Christians, well, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to get away from all these cussing and heathenistic devils. And I always challenge them. I said, why are you on that job in the first place? Are you on that job just to have everybody talk Bible words? And no, you're there to be salt and light. You're there to what? Slow the spread of corruption. If you weren't there, that whole job would go to hell in a handbasket. That's why God has us in the world. He said, you're the salt of the what? The earth. That means we got to be involved. Whether it's in our own neighborhood or in our own community or in our own company or job. With the salt of the earth. Everybody say salt of the earth. Now Jesus said if you lose your saltiness, you're good for nothing. Because you can't hinder the spread of corruption. You cannot do what? You cannot create a thirst where people says, well, I want that. I crave what you have. Right? And you don't taste like flavor. You're bland. You Jesus' purpose is for the is to be the light of the nations. But he confers this same task on his followers, who should be the light of the world, reflecting his light into the world's darkness. Now listen to this, Isaiah, these scriptures in the middle, I got there listed. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. And he's talking about us. And who will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles means that people who are non-Jewish, but also non-Christians. Non-Jewish and non-Christians. People that don't know Christ. Are you listening to me? All right. Luke 2:32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. What are we supposed to be bringing? A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. A revelation of who? Jesus Christ. And the glory of your people, Israel. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless, the children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights. Shine as lights. What do? Shine as lights in the world. And, of course, he reemphasizes, as we said before, we'll read it again, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before who? Men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we, as Christians, must allow God's light to be on full display. So nudge your neighbor and say, is your light, is God's light on full display in and through your life? So our responsibility there is to guard against anything that would separate us from our only source of light. Everybody say, he is. The Lord is my only source of light. And let your light so shine before others that they will see the reality of Christ in and through us and glorify our Heavenly Father. Because he's the true light. He's the only light. John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're supposed to be light to other men and women. Amen. So don't lose your saltiness. Next slide. Don't lose your saltiness and Christ-like seasoning, because you can do it. Matthew 5:13, Amplified, classic. You are the salt of the earth, but as the salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? Jesus is asking a question, but we all know he's inferring the answer. You can't restore the saltiness, typically, unless there's a great change. It is not good for anything no longer, but to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Now, I want to give you a novel concept. This comes from Jesus, but we as born-again Christians are what? And Christ followers should and ought to help make the world a better place. We're not to hide out in our homes and wait for Jesus to rapture us out of here and escape all the corrupt and evil world around us. But we're supposed to help the world be and become a better place. That's part of our occupying until he comes. Until he comes, we're on business of making our world a better place. It starts in our Jerusalem, our family and friends. It spreads out to our neighbors and strangers who live around us, people that work with us, right? We're supposed to make that job, that company, better. Better for Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. And just like salt, we add flavor to food. Salt adds flavor to food to keep it from spoiling. Christians should bring the gospel goodness. Everybody say gospel goodness. And help to stop bad things from happening in the community and the world around us. So we are meant to be a positive influence, improving our communities and showing others kindness and love. Somebody say praise the Lord. So Jesus, our Lord, uses salt and light several times to refer to the role of his Father. His followers. So everybody say, I am. And look to somebody next to you and say, you are supposed to be salt and light. So believers in Christ are preservatives of the world, preserving it from the evil inherent by the society of ungodly men and women and unredeemed natures that are corrupted by sin. Now, William Barclay, we put this quote up here, salt was connected with purity, with preservation, and with flavor. Christians must be the example of what? Purity. Must have a purifying effect on life, and he or she must lend flavor to life. Amen. Now, Mark 9:50 says, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? That's it, Mark. You must have the qualities of salt in yourselves. So that's what we're doing today. Do you have the qualities of salt in yourselves? And live in peace with each other. Now, what are the qualities of salt? Purity. Everybody say purity. Preservation. And flavor. Everybody say, I taste good. Because I'm in Christ. I got the good flavor. Good seasoning. Amen. Amen. But see, you can be in Christ or you can choose to live and be outside of Christ. Isn't that right? Look at Colossians. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Now examine your last week. Was your speech always with grace? That means being kind, being helpful, being useful, being beneficial to the other person or other persons that heard you talk. You know, in a job environment that I go in, there's a lot of talk because it's a sales organization. And sometimes people talk rough, ugly. They beat people down. They're desperate to do stuff. But that doesn't benefit anybody. But we always, as Christians, we're not trying to beat people down. We're trying to promote Jesus and present Jesus to everyone we meet. So our words have to be, our speech always has to be with what? Grace. So it's attractive, alluring, it's beneficial, it's a blessing to hear. You know, we had lunch with a bunch of new agents we got in. It was about 9 of them. And I always try to weave in the things of the Lord. And people's ears pop open. People start listening. Why? Because Jesus tastes good. And Jesus is always good. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you should, when you talk about yourself, they might taste you and say, I got bland. You talking about yourself all the time, right? Your three favorite people. Who are they? You're hiding the light and you're losing your saltiness. When you talk about yourself, you're hiding the light and you're losing your saltiness. Because you want people to taste your flavor instead of taste his flavor. Look at what it says. Season with what? This New Testament scripture. Season with what? That you may know how to answer each what? Each one. When people ask you, people come up to you. How do you talk? So our speech must be always with grace and seasoned with salt. That means our speech is tasteful, appropriate, and useful for helping others and building them up. I say it again. Our speech is tasteful, appropriate, and useful. Around the house, is your speech tasteful, appropriate, and useful? Or if you're walking around the house fussing, and hopefully not cussing, but you're fussing and complaining, is that speech tasteful, useful, and helpful? If you're always pointing out things wrong, pointing out problems and pain, and running your mouth like it's run off the track somewhere, is that tasteful, appropriate and useful. You lost seasoning. We always say, get back into Christ. See yourself in Him. Talk His flavor. He said, let it. That means you can let it or you can choose not to let it. Is everybody here today? Ecclesiastes 10:12 Amplified says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him what? Favor, but the lips of the fool consume him. You can talk yourself into a place where things are just overwhelming you and eating you up alive, and you can't sleep, and you're always having conflict, and you're always having problems, and you always got combating people. Why? Because maybe your lips are being foolish. Amen? So the Old Testament offerings were usually include both olive oil and salt, flavoring agents that would enhance the offering's taste. Now, we just received the offering. So is your time offerings? Because we offer our time to the Lord. We come to church, right? Is it flat or flavorful? I'm here, Anna. Your body may be present, but are you present in the room? Are you contributing to the atmosphere and to the recipe of the flow of the service? What about your talent offerings? Because, see, these were different kind of offerings. They had grain offerings, wheat offerings, different kinds of offerings, offerings of animals. So they use salt and olive oil a lot. See, talent offerings is I have gifts and callings inside of me, but they're lying dormant. I'm not stirring up the gift of God because that's with your tongue. Remember, God uses a lot of things around our mouth. Everything gets done by speaking, right? And so you got to stir up the gift of God in you, because the you in the natural, in the flesh, could be what? Bland. Spoiled. You could be singing bland. God gave you a gift to sing and lead in worship or praise and worship, but you're singing bland. You're looking bland. Spoiled or sour, look like something's wrong, bothering you. Or you're blessed and beautiful. Man, look at her praise. Look at him praise God. That's the flavor I want. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. What about your treasure, your money offerings? Is it full of flavor? If we check the envelopes, do they got salt in it? Because what they used to do is put that olive oil and salt to preserve the grain from getting corrupted, contaminated. So God likes seasoning. God's a flavorful God. You can imagine how good fried chicken's going to be up there in heaven. You say, well, maybe God doesn't fry it. Maybe He doesn't. But whatever, chicken's going to be good, right? Fish is going to be good up there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And I'm sure he's going to beat those Texas steaks. Somebody said hallelujah. So how was your treasure offering this morning? Was it full of flavor, honor? Was it faith? Or was it dishonoring and distasteful? Praise the Lord. What about your testimony? You're sharing your faith and witness of Christ. Was it dull? Stale? Was it disgusting? Or was it delightful, inspiring, or full of life? Everybody say praise the Lord. Now, in Luke, it says it this way. Luke says it this way. Oh, let me read Leviticus. Leviticus 2:13. It says, in every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. Every offering. Every offering should have your flavor on it. Now, sometimes people won't be technical and write everything out about their offering. That's beautiful, but if you don't put your flavor in there, your seasoning on it. This is honor, Lord. God likes to smell things. We found out in Acts 10 that Cornelius had an offering, alms, that came up to God as a memorial. That means it smelled good. You know, like when somebody's cooking a real good meal and they say, that smells good in there. That smells real good in the kitchen. Did your offering smell good this morning? What am I getting at? What are you getting at, Pastor? He said, be salt and light. There's a big difference between being unsalted and being seasoned with salt. Luke 14, 34, 35. Salt is good and excellent thing, but if salt lost its strength and has become saltless, insipid, and flat, how shall it be, its saltiness be restored? It is fit for neither the land or for the manure heap. Wow. Men throw it away. He who has ears to hear, let him listen and consider and comprehend by hearing. All right. So I'm going to use two of my young men here. So Donnie and Dre, come on up. Stand right here. All right. Turn around to face everybody. Give him a hand. Like, come on, y'all, encourage him. Give him a hand. Going to school. The Star Wars. What do I have in my hand? Salt shaker. Okay. All right. Hold out your hands, Donnie. Dre, both of you, hold on your hands. So. All right. Taste your hands. Smell your hands. Do you taste any salt? You taste any salt? Think about us. When you leave out the house, when you go through the week, is there salt? Are you salty? Now, I'm going to give you some salt. Ready? Catch it. Now taste it a little bit. What do you taste? It's salty, right? Praise God. You want people in your life, in your house, in your neighborhood, when they speak to you, hi, Mr. So-and-so, hi, Mrs. So-and-so, hi, Miss So-and-so. They say, oh, salty. When you talk to them, seasoned with salt, just like these guys are tasting salt. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. All right, let's bless them with a little bit of money for school coming up. Donnie? He likes the salt. People like salt. Everybody say, people like salt. People like salt. Don't believe everything the cardiologist tells you. Praise God. All right, let's give him a hand. Praise God. Ray? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that's just a simple illustration. So when you are out there this week, what's the directive of Jesus? Be salty on your job. You're the salt of what? There's at least one or more unsaved or unbelievers on your job. Isn't that right? In your company. If you don't have any, come to mind. There's a whole bunch. There perhaps may be unbelievers who live right next door to you, up and down your street, when you walk into the mailbox. You're being what? Salt and what? Light. What does that mean? When they see you, they see him. when they talk to you, they taste him. And say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They're not looking at you saying, don't bother me. Don't be bothered with me. They don't see you in HEB or Walmart or Sprouts or wherever you go to get groceries. And they're going down and you look like you don't want to be bothered. You can't even pause and have a conversation with somebody. Be what? Salt and light. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So a saltless Christian, just like I illustrated with the two boys there, is a Christian who is insipid. The Amplified says, you're insipid and flat. How many times you heated something up in the microwave and you said, what does it need? What's the first thing most of us grab? It might be pepper too, but usually salt. Do you want to be flat? Bland. Insipid. Insipid means tasteless. Those boys could not taste salt because there was no salt in their hands. Destitute of taste. Insipid means wanting, lacking spirit. It means lacking life and animation. That means you're not looking like you're enjoying Jesus or enjoying your journey with Christ. Amen. It means lacking or wanting the power of exciting emotions. Sometimes like our praise and worship service. Flat, dull, heavy, lacking and wanting power to gratify desire. We really enjoy the Lord. Amen. And it's connected to what we talked to last week, brothers and sisters, because it's connected to our heart. If our hearts, Jesus was telling us first and foremost, take care of your heart condition. Blessed are the XYZ. Go down the list. We gave you seven characteristics that Jesus said how your heart should be. To stay blessed, joyful, prosperous, happy in the kingdom. So we got to put that together with this and say, well, if my heart's not right, my life is not going to reflect what he's calling me to. Be salt and light. And so I'm going to be tasteless, flat, dull. Hardly anybody's going to realize I'm different or a Christian because I don't taste like Jesus. And I don't shine the light of Jesus in and through my life. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Now, they use a term, it's called punk wood or rotten lumber. I remember Dad Hagen used that term. He said some people, unfortunately, become punk wood. It's the wood that they becomes fire retardant. They use it for fireworks. They use it for the ground. But punky wood becomes soft and spongy through fungal rotten, fungal decay. It's rotten lumber. And if you put gasoline or fireworks on it, it's not going to catch on fire. So we become salt as a preservative to preserve the world around us. Because we want the fire of God to hit our house, right? We want the fire of God to light up our job. How would it be if your whole section or your whole department or your whole company becomes believers and spirit-filled, anointed Christians? Praise God. Amen? Because you can be a fire starter. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So the status of salt and light is something that follows naturally from the Christian's humbled obedience to the commands of Christ. It is when we've departed from the spirit-led life of genuine discipleship that that the distinctions between ourselves and the rest of the world become blurred and our testimony is hindered. Only by remaining focused on Christ and being obedient to him can we expect to remain salt and light in the world. I'll say it again. Only by being obedient to him can we expect to remain salt and light in obedience to the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let's do the example of light here. Who else we got back there? Is she okay with coming up, Tracy? Layla? You can help her. Come on up. Oh, she's nervous. She's not coming. She come. All right. You want to hold my flashlight? Okay. Now show everybody your flashlight. Look around and show. Now, it's not fulfilling its purpose, right? Don't turn it on yet. Don't turn it on. Turn it off. So it's not fulfilling its purpose yet, right? Because can you see the light? Look, everybody look at it. Can you see the light?
No.
Now cut it on. Did she cut it on?
Yeah.
Now cut all the lights off, Francis. Or Tracy, one of y'all. He said, you're the light of what? Light of the what? You're the light of the what? The world is in darkness. Just hit that bottom button on the thing. Help her out, Tracy. That one at the bottom, the bottom, the one at the very bottom. Yeah, that one. Yeah. All right. Now it's dark in the room, right? Now cut the light on. Wait. Turn the light on. There you go. Now, would this light help others see? Can you see the light on the board? Light on the ground. All right. What are you and I supposed to do? Cut the lights back on. What are you and I supposed to do? Help other people see who? Jesus in me. Help other people see the Jesus in me. But most Christians go around with what? Their flashlight. Their light off because they want people to see who. People have hundreds of posts on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, hundreds of posts on TikTok, but it's all about who? It's not about the true light. When he said, first and foremost, right? Be salt, be light. And he said, be a light to who? The world. Because the world lies in darkness. So is your light shining? He said, let your light shine before who? Men, women. Is it shining? Or you got the light off? Come on, y'all. Let's give Layla a hand. Praise God. Here you go, baby. Thank you. Welcome. Let's give her a hand again. Y'all seeing that? All right. See, the Bible says, and I'm going to skip the next part a little bit, but you can turn the slide, change the slide. In Psalms 119:30, the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, what does that mean? That means that you get a clear picture of him because the Bible, the Word of God, and Jesus are synonymous. So what happens if I don't let the Word of God get in? I don't let the light of God shine through me. And instead of things becoming simple and clear, they become complicated and confusing. Because I'm not reading my Bible. Because the Bible says in John, and the Word, talking about the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. But he just finished saying that in him, Jesus was the light and the life of men. That means Jesus is the light, but he's also the Word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. So when we get in the Word gets in us, and it shines light to us, but also through us. So if I'm running 3 or 4 or 5 days the whole week without even touching my Bible, without even reading my scriptures, I'm like what Leda did, I'm cutting off the light. And I'm going out to the world with a flashlight that's not shining. And in Ephesians, he says, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, walk circumspectly. Not in the dark, but in the light. Because we're children of the light. That means we're not supposed to be walking around with our Jesus flashlight on off. But our Jesus flashlight, our Jesus light should be on and shining bright to the world around us. The world could be you going to Walmart down the street or around the corner from your house, going to the HEB. Around there, going to a restaurant in your own neighborhood or wherever you eat. You going, what are you supposed to be doing? Lights on. Waitress or attendant to your table, lights on. Salt up. Lights on. Salt up. Lights on. Tomorrow, salt up. Lights on. When you're driving through 410, 1604, I-10, 35, 37, 281 traffic, salt up, lights on. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Somebody say hallelujah. Now what complicates us is sin. And that includes disobedience. We come to church bland, blurry, lights off. Everybody say salt up. Lights on. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all getting something out of that today? Be salt and light in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Number beta than the Isopani itu supo the Mahasete. Nunkubani iti hisi kulakutu kulabahasi. There's a way and there is a plan in me that will bring you to a place of triumph and victory. A place where you become what I've called you to be, which in today's word you see to be salt and light to the world around thee. So I'm calling you and commissioning you again today to let me live big in you, to do my will and have my way. So change how you do things out and stop doing things outside of me. For in me, you'll be salt and light. And you'll be bringing many into the kingdom, not because of you, but because of me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So everybody say hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your instruction. Thank you for your direction today. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. For anyone online that needs prayer, we ask you to kindly text the word pray to 210-941-3322. Be salt and light to the earth and to the church. to the world. Be salt and light to the world around you. Starts in your home. Starts in your family. Starts with those who live around you who don't know Jesus. We're always on mission. We're always on task. Be salt and light until Jesus comes and takes us to heaven.